Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on this hour of the program. A new report out shows that Joe Biden, if he gets elected, he's going to raise taxes on 80% of the American people. This is a big deal. And according to the University of Chicago, their economist, they say the average American household will lose $6,500 in income. Again, this is not coming from the Republicans. It's the University of Chicago, so we're going to get to that. Also, and we're going to be taking your calls on this just momentarily, but there are a lot of conservatives that are concerned about the president and the approach he's going to take to the debate coming up Thursday. And so we're going to open up the phone lines on this, and we'd like to know, what do you want to see the president do with this debate? Do you want to see a repeat of the first debate? Do you want to see something more of substance? What do you want to see? What do you want to hear from the president on debate night? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, another big story is the social media crackdown on conservatives. I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line from the White House, Brian Morgenstern. Brian, good to have you back with us today.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me. Great to be back.
So real quick, the big headline today is this lawsuit, and a lot of Republicans are very excited. The Justice Department going after Google in this antitrust lawsuit. They say it's long overdue. What say you?
Well, there's been some anti-competitive behavior, and it is an important step. That and the separate issue, which I'm sure you and your listeners are familiar with, of Section 230, about whether an online platform is a publisher or a platform, sort of a neutral platform, is another very important issue. And the bottom line is conservatives have been targeted for a long time, and we need fairness. There just absolutely has to be fairness. And it's never been more clear now that we have damaging information coming out, being published by the New York Post, one of the largest publications in the entire country, and that story being stifled by Twitter and Facebook, these platforms that have, of course, millions and millions of users. And then we had ABC basically follow that lead in an entire 90-minute engagement with Vice President Biden, not even raise the story. That means that it's not just sort of conservatives being stifled, it's information being hidden from the American people. And so this administration is for freedom, and we are for free and open discourse. And so that's what we're going to continue to stand for and hopefully get some solutions for the American people.
I think Congress has to intervene here, Brian. And again, Facebook, Twitter, they're free to do whatever they want. If they pay their own bills. But whatever special protections they have been given by the federal government need to be taken away. If they're not going to be platforms for free speech, then take away their protections.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, the choice has to be made. And if they're not going to make the choice to be a neutral platform, then the government apparently is going to have to step in and ensure some fairness here. It is really disgusting considering how a lot of the liberal media outlets had been peddling Russian disinformation, which we now know was pushed by the Democrats, and of course unverified, and it dragged the country through this battle for years through the mud. And now you have the same outlet saying, "Oh, well, this is unverified. We can't run it." Well, this is a lot more verified than anything that they were peddling for years. So the bottom line is, if you have information that is valid and is important for the American people to know, especially when we're going through an election, but not just when we're going through an election, something has to be done. And we just have to make sure that there's going to be fairness and free speech ensured, because that's foundational to the health of our democracy.
I mean, when you look at what Google is doing and throttling stories that might reflect poorly on Joe Biden, when you look at what Facebook and Twitter are doing and throttling stories and content that reflects negatively on Joe Biden, it's almost as if we are watching a digital coup unfold before our very eyes.
Yeah, and you know, it seems a lot more like the activities of an oppressive regime. It seems a lot more like sort of state-owned media and propaganda, like you'd see in China or some other countries around the world, where the party controls the information that the people get to see and hear. In this case, it's the leftists in America trying to make sure that the conservative voices are no longer heard. But that goes against everything America stands for. Freedom of speech is right there in the very First Amendment for a reason. And, you know, we're seeing this stifled by private sector entities, but maybe the government needs to ensure fairness at this point. And it's a shame, because we should be able to rely on one another to be able to sort of scream our opinions from the mountaintop, but then fight for the right of our opponents to scream their opinions. I mean, that's sort of how our country has always functioned and should always function. But, you know, the solution to bad speech is more speech, not less.
Brian, let me jump in
here.
How concerned is the president that the throttling of all of this content online and on social media platforms is going to impact the election?
Well, of course, it's a huge concern. It's a huge concern. And thank goodness that the censorship has received as much attention as it has, because that in turn has, at least to an extent, elevated the content of the reporting, which is obviously very troubling, but still not to the extent as it should be elevated if these platforms and mainstream media outlets would cover newsworthy stories and be honest with the American people. So we're grateful that at least the kind of bipartisan outcry regarding censorship has elevated this sort of thing. But there's only so many times that'll work. We actually have to ensure fairness going forward.
Well said. Real quick, before we let you go, Brian, of course, the big debate. We know that the moderator has very close ties to the Democrats. There's the photograph of the moderator with President Obama and Mrs. Obama in the White House, and now the change of the rules and the mute button. What are you guys preparing for on Thursday?
Look, the president is going to fight hard, no matter what the format is, no matter what the rules are. He is going to participate, because his record is one that he is proud of in terms of job creation, cutting taxes, cutting regulations, putting in better trade deals, of replacing endless wars with peace deals, lowering health care costs. I mean, you name it, the president has a terrific record. The coronavirus response has been the most robust mobilization of the public and private sector since World War II, and we're getting close to a vaccine, and we have treatments making it to market in record time. Of course, the contrast with the Democrats during the Obama-Biden years, with slow growth, slow job creation, of the disastrous Iran deal, of so many ways to contrast this administration with the last, and then going forward, the president's happy to debate. The problem is, this exposes the fact that he's not really running against Joe Biden or the Democrats. He's running against the debate commission, ABC, NBC, CBS, Hollywood, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, the list goes on of the sort of institutions that are against Americans.
Yeah,
with
but let's be honest, Brian. I mean, this is not some big surprise. I mean, you know, we've known the fix was in from day one. And that's why I think it's so important for the campaign to be focused on this and to have some sort of a game plan for the president to follow.
Yeah, and the president will bring up the topics, even if the moderator refuses to, so that he can clearly show the American people the decision that they are going to make.
Well, yeah. What happens if the moderator cuts him off and turns his mic off, mutes the president?
Well, the president is going to I'm sure, keep talking. It will just further expose the bias to the American people. I think, Todd, long term, this shows that the debate commission has outlived its value, frankly, and that I think going forward, it needs to be the campaigns negotiating between one another rather than having this middleman. But the president will fight hard no matter how he's able to do so.
Okay. Brian, look, good stuff. And so you heard it here first, folks. The president's going to keep on talking. So I love it. Brian, thank you. We cannot wait to see the president go toe-to-toe with Joe Biden and the debate moderator. You know it's going to be a free-for-all. All right, Brian, thank you. God bless.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Good guy right there, Brian Morgenstern from the White House. So the news nugget there, ladies and gentlemen, if the moderator of the debate, if she decides to silence President Trump, she's going to have a mute button. Kristen Welker is her name over at NBC. And after 2 minutes, she's going to be able to mute the president. And Morgenstern says, well, you know what? The president, he's going to keep on talking. Good for you, Mr. President. But the question here, and we're going to take a quick call before we have to take a break here, and we're going to open this up. What do you think the president needs to do on Thursday night? What kind of message does the president need to deliver? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Chattanooga. Mary Ellen listening to us on Nuga Radio. Hi, Mary Ellen. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And I've been listening to your whole show. And, of course, nobody wants to see a replay of the first debate, number one. Number two, the debate commission is supposed to be neutral. Okay. Number three, President Trump has done such a great job rebuilding our military. He has such a great foreign policy record. All he has to do is stick to the facts, say what he's done. If the China thing comes up and he can stick in anything about Hunter Biden, then stick it in and then be quiet and allow Biden to dig his own hole.
Yeah, no, Mary Ellen, I think that's terrific advice, and you're right. We cannot have a repeat of the first debate. We just can't. And President Trump needs to let Joe Biden destroy himself. The president is going to have to be disciplined to let Biden do that.
Yes, exactly. And he has done such a great job. And this debate is supposed to be on foreign policy. It's not supposed to be on COVID. It's not supposed to be on anything else, as far as I understand it.
But Mary Ellen,
Mary Ellen,
they changed the rules. They at the last minute they said it's not going to be about foreign policy. So again, this to your point, the Commission on Presidential Debates, these folks are partisan hacks, and the fix is clearly in here. And but they're not going to be talking about foreign policy on Thursday night.
No, that's not right. That's not right to the American people. I mean, I taught 7th grade and 8th grade for about 15 years, and I had students that were neutral. I mean, even though they had their friends debating, they were still neutral. I mean, you have to be.
You know, Mary Ellen, isn't it sad, though, that you can't have a fair and balanced debate? They're trying to tell us that they can't find an impartial person in America to moderate that debate. It always has to be a Democrat.
Well, if they have a Democrat, then pull in a Republican. And for another Democrat, pull in another Republican. So that at least it's balanced.
You see, again, brilliant idea. I mean, and again, let's just be honest. I mean, if you're going to bring in somebody like a Chris Wallace, who's a registered Democrat, all right, let's pull in Sean Hannity. I mean, how could it possibly hurt?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they should do.
All right. Mary Ellen, great, great thoughts, great call, and thank you for listening to the program today. We love our good friends over at Nuga Radio in the beautiful city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to get to your calls. A line now open, 844-747-8868, toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Freedom's Blowtorch coming out of your radio. And we're having a good day today. A lot going on. Our good friend Spencer Brown coming up in just a little while. Here's the question of the hour. What do you want to hear the president say on Thursday night at this debate? You know he's going into the lion's den. You know that the moderator is clearly a Democrat, and she is going to tag team with Joe Biden to try to take out Donald Trump. The White House says Trump, if he's muted, they are going to just tell the president to keep on talking. Now, what say you? 844-747-8868. Let's go to New Orleans. Our good friend, the queen of the Big Easy, Miss Janice. Hello, Miss Janice. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, Todd. I really am. Is it all right if I recommend a book? Of course, I love yours. Culture Jihad was really fabulous. I love that book so much.
You certainly... Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And we're a literary bunch here, so what's the book?
You know, keep writing, Todd, because I'll keep reading. I love it.
Janice, we've got a new book coming out in March, by the way. So we'll tell you more about that in a couple of months.
Okay, well, that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to that then. No, I wanted to recommend to everyone out there, you can sign up with Amazon and get the Kindle version, put it right on your phone. It's Liberal Privilege, the Donald Trump Jr. book. I've been reading it, and I'm on the last chapter now. It's a really, really good book. And as you're reading it, he's telling you what his father's accomplished, the things he's done and everything. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't care for him, but you can't just look at that on a personal level. You have to look at what he's done for the country. Now, when it comes to the debate, I would bring up the Hunter Biden thing. I think that would be kind of interesting. But what he needs to do, and what Biden needs to do, what they both need to do, is to be able to be heard. And this, if he's muted, he's going to talk anyway, is stupid. Because if Biden gets a chance to speak and he's muted, and then he keeps talking, then in the room, nobody will be able to hear Biden. I mean, I know it's going to be different because it's going to be on television, but in the room he's in, if he keeps talking, people, I guess, in the room, you know, will hear him. It just wouldn't go out over television. Now, I feel that it would be much better if, when Biden is talking, Trump is muted. When Trump is talking, Biden is muted. And that way, each person would be able to be heard. Now, when it comes to the moderators, yes, I agree with the lady.
Who gets to mute her? That's what I want to know, Miss Janice. Who gets to mute the moderator?
Yeah, I know what you're saying when she goes a little overboard.
And you know
the
she...
Thing is this,
and you, well, Janice, I hate to do this, but Janice, hold on.
Why don't they ever have any conservative moderator? It's always the Democrat.
Well, that's a good question, and we're going to have to end it there because we got to take a break, Miss Janice. That's the only reason I would ever interrupt the Queen of New Orleans. The only reason. So, Miss Janice, thanks for giving a call. She always calls at the commercial break. Miss Janice, you got to call at the top of the hour so we have more time to hang out, to fellowship, as they say. All right, don't go anywhere, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, this just in from Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. He says that President Trump is going to win re-election. And then he says that President Trump will usher in the end of days. So a little good, a little bad. He's going to win re-election, but then the apocalypse will be upon us. So thank you, Pat Robertson. I guess that's an endorsement. There you go. By the way, First Lady Melania Trump was supposed to be at a rally in Pennsylvania today. And this word just coming in, she still has a lingering cough. You know, Mrs. Trump caught the China virus. And one of the problems is you have this cough that just kind of sticks around. So she is going to have to back out of that engagement. So be thinking about the first lady. So look, here is the question: What do you want the president to do at this debate? A lot of you folks want to weigh in on this. 844-747-8868. Bill is listening to us in the beautiful Commonwealth of Virginia on 94.1 FM. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
How you doing, Todd?
Bill, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I think maybe one strategy you should adopt is to disarm the moderator. We know where her stance is, I think, already.
How would you recommend he do that? So disarm the moderator.
I would suggest he apologize for his demeanor in the last debate. Come out and say, hey, I was really sorry for the way things happened. I want this to be a good debate.
Well,
that has about as much a chance as a snowball you know where, but...
I seem to recall this president not apologizing.
Yes, and he doesn't exactly listen to everybody's advice. But I hope he would listen to that. I think it would really make an impact.
Well, I think the president needs to have a game plan going in, and I think he does. But I don't think that he can do what he did last go around. I think he needs to give Joe Biden the opportunity to let the American people know how crazy he is, and the only way that's going to happen is for the president to be quiet and let Joe Biden do the talking.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, good ideas, and thank you for listening to us, and we appreciate all of our great listeners in the Commonwealth and our good friends over at 94.1 FM. All right, let's go to Dave in Little Rock, Arkansas on KARN. All right, Dave, you're the coach here. What do you tell President Trump on debate day?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I agree with what you were just saying. I don't think he needs to do what he did last time. I'd like to see the president come out, be a little bit more disciplined. His base is already fired up, and they know that he'll fight for them. So I would give Joe the time to talk and a chance to make his mistakes, call out his lies when he has them, but then rely on your own content. I mean, he's got a lot of good things that he can say. And then anytime the moderator starts to show bias, I would point it out, but I wouldn't be as aggressive. I would just point it out and be matter of fact so that, you know, she's put on notice. I wouldn't do what the prior gentleman said and apologize. I don't think that's in the president's nature when he feels he's right. But I don't think, you know, you need to be as aggressive in attacking the moderator, just point out the bias when it shows.
You know, Dave, have you seen these videos where instead of the person talking, there's like a musical background and they have the poster boards and a magic marker and they write the words, you know, and then they just hold up the poster board. That's what the president needs. He needs to come into the debate room with like 75 poster boards and, you know, a six pack of the magic markers and just have at it.
I agree. I would like to see them change the format, too. I think they should have two moderators. And I've said this for, you know, since the first one happened. You know, bring in one Democrat, one Republican. Let the Democrat, you know, question the Republican nominee. Let the Republican question the Democrat, because you're going to get hard questions. And let's see how they do.
You
know,
I love
think
it.
The president would hold up very well like that. I don't know that I would expect, you know, Joe Biden to be able to handle it.
Good stuff. Dave, great comments. Thank you, and thanks for listening to us on KARN. I just glanced. Folks, we try to multitask on the program, and so I was glancing over at what was trending on Twitter, and Bill Cosby's name was trending, and so I clicked on it, and I really wish I had not. I guess Cosby's mugshot came out, and it's about as horrifying as whatever was happening in that Zoom meeting with Jeffrey Toobin over at The New Yorker. I'm just going to leave that there. Not a good mugshot for Bill Cosby. All right, 844-747-8868. You know, one of the most important organizations in America, and this is not hyperbole, folks, but one of the most important organizations is Young America's Foundation. And they are responsible for raising up next generation conservative patriots and really carrying the torch that has been passed down from William F. Buckley Jr. To Ronald Reagan to a new generation. And I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A good friend of this program from YAF, YAF, is Spencer Brown. Spencer, it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's good to be back, though.
Well, we're always delighted to have you and the team over at YAF on this program. We're big supporters of what you guys are doing. And Spencer, I guess, you know, the launching off point here, you guys are doing a lot of stuff. And, of course, the exciting news is the nomination and the confirmation hearing surrounding Amy Barrett.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of those things that we didn't necessarily know as a conservative movement that we would have this opportunity again so soon. But, you know, it just kind of it happened so fast and sort of when people didn't expect it. But thankfully, there was a great list of potential justices to be nominated. And I think, you know, Amy Coney Barrett is about as qualified and fitting a person to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat as there is. And so we, of course, you know, leapt into action with our students all over the country to start rallying support because this person who fills this seat is going to be making the decisions that decide sort of what kind of America this rising generation grows up in. And so we're full steam ahead. We've been out at the Supreme Court several times. We've got a petition signed by students in all 50 states across the country. And we are very excited to, you know, make sure the Senate knows that the next generation is watching and they want ACB on the court.
You know, Spencer, it is no doubt a very unusual time in American politics. Discourse is just off the charts insane. What are you hearing from young people, young conservatives? You have a lot of high school students, a lot of college students involved in the program there. Are they being turned off by all the vitriol, or are they understanding this as part of the political process?
Well, I think what's interesting is obviously the left with their cancel culture and the just outright censorship of our ideas, they seem to do that, you know, attempting to shut us up and sideline us and keep us from having any role or feeling like we can make any differences. But really it's having the opposite effect where young people are seeing the left for what they truly are. And it's sort of lighting a fire under this rising generation and getting them more active, more involved, more informed, I think, than even just 5 or 10 years ago. And so we see students today realizing that this isn't the time to be quiet or to keep their ideas to themselves for fear of offending someone or something like that. They realize that this is the time for them to really stand up and defend things like American exceptionalism, the U.S. Constitution, our sort of fundamental rights that we have in this country. And so it's really good to see that young people are willing to take a chance because obviously it is so hard for students to stand up in a classroom and share that oppositional point of view, but they're realizing that they need to do that if they want to have any hope of continuing to have freedom into the future.
You see, there's a phrase you used, and I think it's so important. You said taking a chance. And, you know, I go back to 2016. I'm feeling pretty bullish about the president winning re-election, and here's the reason why. Back in 2016, a lot of people in this country took a chance and voted for Trump. You know, he made a lot of promises to the conservative movement. And Spencer, I'll be darned if he hasn't delivered on just about every single one of those promises. And so now here we are 4 years later, and I think those people who were rather maybe they were hesitant about voting for Trump are rock solid behind this president now because he delivered on the promises.
Well, and I think the other really important thing that's happened over the last 4 years is we now have proof positive that conservative ideas and policies work. You know, these ideas about this deregulatory agenda to get the government out of the way of business and innovation, this idea that, you know, you need to tax everybody so much in order to have enough money for the government to work. We've seen the way that conservative ideas that we had talked about through 8 years of the Obama administration and everybody just kind of laughed us off, we've seen all those ideas work in a way that made the United States a better country, that made it a place where there's even more opportunity than we had before. And I think that's another reason young conservatives especially feel like now is the time for them to speak up and share and advocate for our ideas, because now we have all this proof that getting less government and more freedom into the mix is what it takes to have a better future. And that's what young people want, ultimately, is a better future.
I'm on the website, Spencer Brown, and you know I've been hanging out with you guys for a long time now. I'm sort of like, you know, a senior citizen when it comes to YAF. And because you guys are young. You know. So I noticed on the website, yaft.org, folks, you got to check it out. Great information there. So you've got the William F. Buckley. He's got like a Yaft card. He's a member in good standing since 1960, member number one. Are you guys card carrying now? Because if so, I want to get one of those.
Well, we can definitely get one of those out your way, and indeed we are. You know, with the pandemic, the Wu flu, the China virus, whatever we're calling it, so many students are no longer able to do normal activism on campus, either because, you know, their schools are shut down or they're not allowed to do tabling activities on campus. And we didn't want students anywhere to miss out on all the resources and opportunities that our students get with YAF. And so we launched individual memberships as something that any student from middle school on up through college can be a part of. They'll get that membership card. They'll get, you know, conservative books and different informational resources for them to strengthen their arguments, and then also get special access to our student programs as we're starting to bring those back online as well. And like you said, all that information is on our website, yaft.org. But, you know, more students every single day are joining that and making sure that they have the resources and the tools they need in order to be effective advocates for our ideas.
All right, Spencer Brown, I just came up with an epiphany here, so bear with me. And you don't have to answer right away. But, you know, we've been talking about these presidential debates and impartial, fair and balanced moderators. I'm thinking Spencer Brown.
I would have fun with it, I have to say. That would be a very fun experience, I think. I don't know if I could make it through 90 minutes, though.
You got to wear the cool shades like you've got on the website there with Amy Barrett. She's wearing the cool sunglasses. I think that would be a great debate, Spencer Brown.
I think that would be fun. I'd only do it if I could have some co-moderators, I think. I don't know if I could sit through that for, you know, 90 minutes. I've watched enough debates now this year that I think I'd want some popcorn so I could kick my feet up after a little bit.
I'm thinking Michael Knowles. He would be good.
And that would be very good.
And by the way, you're big friend. I mean, you're big pals with Ben Shapiro. And, you know, he's making the big move to Nashville, which is here in the great state of Tennessee. And the reason I say this, I need you to get a message to Ben Shapiro, if you don't mind.
I've got a pen ready.
All right. So one of our listeners sends me a note, and I'm calling this up. She's a very kind lady. Her name is Mary. Mary says, Todd, I'm trying to get a hold of Ben Shapiro. He's coming to – she lives in Nashville. He's moving to Nashville. I work for United Van Lines. And I think she wants to hook him up with a discount or something. So,
well, there you go.
We have great.
It's already way more friendly than California. Look at that.
We have very kind listeners. You know, they want to always, you know, offer a helping hand. So, all right, Spencer. Otherwise, you're doing well, taking care of yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. Keeping busy here out in the Supreme Court most days these last couple weeks, helping rally for Amy Coney Barrett, and we're going to keep going all the way through early next week when hopefully we can finally attach justice to the front of that title.
All right. Good. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And we're going to have to leave it there. Spencer Brown from Young America's Foundation, YAF.org. Get involved in this great program, folks. It's gonna save our country. All right, Spencer. Thank you.
Absolutely. Stay well.
All right. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
You know, I want you guys just to think about something here when it comes to Joe Biden, because there is some narrative out there that, oh, he's just your Uncle Joe. You know, he's just Joe, just a regular guy. You know, just always looking out for the little guy. No, he's not. This is a bad man. And I do think you need to take a look at this guy's family. And we need to take a very long, hard look at the family dynamic here. And what drove Hunter Biden to do drugs and to go into the depths of depravity. I mean, we need to look into this. The idea that nice Joe was in reality forcing his son into deals with the Ukrainians and Lord knows who else so that he could get a cut of it, 50%, 10%. is a bad guy. Just remember, Joe Biden, I want you to think about this for a moment. Joe Biden is the same guy who pushed China's most favored nation trade status. You say, well, Todd, why is that a big deal? Because that trade status cost 3.5 million Americans their jobs. Joe Biden sided with the Chinese and turned his back on the American working man and the American working woman. 3.5 million people out of work because of Joe Biden. All right, let's go to the phones. The Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, I hear you voted yesterday. What was that like?
It was pretty neat, Todd. Good afternoon. There was about 100 people when we first got there. We got up. I went there with a couple of friends of mine voting for Trump. And we get up to the door, and the guy working the door for the voting booth turns around and says, well, I wouldn't vote for the first guy. And I go, and Steve didn't tell me this, or this guy didn't tell me this until we got out of there. I said, I wish he said that to me, because you're not supposed to say that when you're working in a voting booth, man. You don't sit there and tell people who they should vote for.
Well, that's a fair point.
Yeah, and then secondly, I wanted to bring up with Troy Aikman making these stupid comments like he made yesterday on that flyover. You know, you get people like LeBron James, comes out of high school with a 2.8 GPA, and then he knows everything about politics. What these idiots don't understand is that they're messing it up for these young kids coming out of high school that want to get into sports. And if there's no sports, they won't be making the money. I mean, what they're doing to sports is unbelievable. Troy Aikman, you know, along with LeBron James and the rest of those Kaepernick and the rest of those idiots, need to realize what they're doing to the future of these kids or people coming out, or kids coming out of college wanting to make a career out of it. They're ruining it for them is what they're doing.
No, Mark, look, it's a fair point you're raising. You're right. They're not the sharpest tools in the shed, as they say. And, you know, I think they're going to destroy professional sports as we know it. And maybe they don't care. Maybe they're too stupid to understand what they're doing. But the reality is the average sports fan in America is a patriot. And they're going to turn off the channel. I've already done it, and I know a lot of other people have too. And clearly, based on the ratings, they're in hot water. Mark, appreciate you calling in, and thank you for getting out there and voting, doing your civic duty. Pastor Charlie in Missouri, Robert in Little Rock, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. We got to take a break. Oh, Miss Grace, you got to remind me after the top of the hour news break to talk about my experience at the Walmart yesterday. I went before midnight, but it was still frightening. So we'll talk about that next. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.